Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 98, would you please? Psalm 98. Now, we have been studying about worship these last few weeks, and those of you who are visiting or are new to Winter Park Christian, before you in the pew is a little flyer, and on that flyer it says, and as you open it up, it says that our vision, or our mission and vision, is to know Christ and to make Him known. And under that, you'll find an acrostic of Winter Park Christian Church, WPCC. And it says there that we exist for four things. And everything in our church flows from those four areas. Okay? Number one, we exist to worship God and to celebrate His presence. That's why we exist in the Lord. Secondly, we exist to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in all the world. Thirdly, we exist to consecrate our lives to Him through obedience to His Word. In other words, to grow and mature in the Lord. And lastly, to commit ourselves to His service, both in the church and in the world, finding that place of ministry. And so everything we do comes from those areas. And we are looking at those this summer, and we're focusing right now on what it means to worship the Lord and to celebrate His presence. Now, we all come from various church backgrounds here, right? Some of us, and very different church liturgies and church styles, and especially talking about worship today, different church styles of worship. Some of us come from churches where the worship was very quiet. I was raised in a Catholic church, and when I grew up, seemed like the only one that really sang out and had the best voice was the priest. And he sang a lot of songs in a cappella, and everyone kind of sang quietly. And then when I became a Christian, I went to a church that was very exuberant in mostly Hispanic and very emotional, and people raising their hands, dancing in the aisle. And I mean, it was totally different than my upbringing. And some of us come from different backgrounds too. Sometimes the worship has been stoic, and other times very exuberant. Come from Baptist and Presbyterian and Episcopalian backgrounds and charismatic backgrounds. And I mean, just a lot of different experiences here. But how can we truly know what delights God in our worship? How do we know what God is pleased with, okay? Not that churches do it wrong, but the only way that we know what pleases God is what His Word says, because this is the revealed will of God, right? A lot of books are written about the Bible, but they're not inspired. The Bible is inspired. And the worship book, the whole book is a book of worship. The whole Bible is a book of worship of God, learning about God. But the hymnal of Israel, the worship manual of Israel, was the Psalms. The Psalms, given by the Holy Spirit through David and other priests, exhibited and taught what God desires in worship. Or else we wouldn't know what God desired in worship, right? But now we know in the Word. So let's look at some of these Psalms today. We're going to look at many Psalms, and the Bible literally speaks for itself. So we're going to read these Psalms. A lot of them are in your notes. And just make a few comments along the way, all right? Let's begin with Psalm 98. Lord, how do You want us to worship? What pleases You? What delights You? Because our walk with God is not about us. It's about Him, right? And our time with the Lord and as a congregation is not about us. It's about Him. So what do You want, Lord? So here in Psalm 98, it says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. By the way, everything God does, He does for His glory. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises! Exclamation point. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Well, there's a good depiction of what pleases God in worship, right? R.C. Sproul, in talking about that, especially verses 4 through 6, he says this. He says, this section demonstrates the enthusiastic worship of a people who have a deep love for their God. Does our worship demonstrate an enthusiastic and deep love for our God? And he goes on to say, their worship is active and noisy. Active and noisy. Loud, okay? This is pleasing to the Lord. Active worship. Enthusiastic. Most of us know this. Enthusiasm. The root of enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, entheos, which is in God. Enthusiasm is the excitement, the passion, the joy that comes from understanding God. That's what enthusiasm really means. And enthusiastic worship is what delights Almighty God. Almighty God goes on to say, well, another thing, enthusiastic worship is pleasing and honoring to God. And each one of God's people is an active participant in praise and worship. So when we come together on Sundays, we are not the audience listening to the worship team perform the songs. Some people come to church with that mentality. Nobody in this room, but you may know somebody who does do that. And you just come to think because you like the music. Or you just, oh, I just feel so good when I'm in church. And oh, the singers are just so good. And it's like we come to a concert, right? That is not worship for the congregation of believers. We are all participants. The worship team, using their gifts and talents musically and vocally, lead us in congregational worship. We are the participants, and guess who the audience is? God is the audience. He's the one watching us. We are the participants. That's the biblical view of worship in the congregation. And it should be enthusiastic. Okay? Boy, if you could be here this last week with VBS, you talk about enthusiastic worship by children. And we talked about last week how God perfects praise through the mouths of infants and children. I mean, there was no hindrance to them dancing up here. Some people will say, well, I'll sing or I'll shout, but I'm not going to dance. You know, there's a dance that's immoral and there's a dance that's very moral. There's a dance that's very demonic, and there's a dance that is absolutely spiritual and pleasing to God. And when we saw these children jumping and praising to God with enthusiasm, I'll tell you what, it is contagious, and you could feel the pleasure of God. But as we grow up, we get more stoic, and you know, we get more reserved and more aware of what people are going to think, you know, and how odd it would be for Gary to raise his hand, you know, oh no. Did you see that? Whoa. You know, as if everybody's looking at Gary. Right? Are we so prideful? We think people are looking at us. Oh, what's people going to think if they see me kneel? They're not looking at you. Nobody's looking at you. You know why? Because everybody's thinking about themselves. No one's thinking about you. We're all self-centered. All right? Who's the one we should be mindful about how they think? God. What's God thinking about me right now? Am I engaging God? Am I worshiping God? You children, have you ever been given a gift where you get really excited about that? Have you ever been given a gift on your birthday or Christmas time or just any other time and it's just what you wanted? Have you ever jumped up and went, yes, yes, and you run in and hug your mom and dad? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're the best parents in the whole world. You know, the gift that we have given is indescribable. We've sang about that. Have we ever just run to God and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have enough words to tell you how grateful I am for this gift. That's enthusiasm. And you know what, as we're going to learn this morning, that is totally unrelated to anything that's happening in our lives. There is nothing in our lives that should diminish in one little iota the worship of Almighty God because of all that He's given and who He is. Enthusiastic worship. Goes on to say in John chapter 4, God desires true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. So if God is looking for true worshipers, then there must be false worshipers, right? God is looking for those who are true worshipers. Is there a way to come to church and sing songs in a way that's not honoring to God? Turn with me to Malachi. Hold your finger here. Go to the book of Malachi. This is not in your notes, but a very important picture of what God desires. God desires to be honored by his people, to be reverenced, to be appreciated. And our way that we act, our body language and what we do, either honors God or dishonors God. Okay? Here in Malachi, very interesting. Malachi is the book just before Matthew, last book of the Old Testament. Here God is speaking to the children of Israel through this prophet. The Holy Spirit is inspiring this, these words in verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, this is God speaking. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? What does that reveal about our God, our Heavenly Father? He desires to be honored. He desires to be honored. And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Where's that heart to obey? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests. So he's actually talking to the leaders here, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Of course, we don't think we ever do anything that's disapproved by God. God says, by offering polluted food on my altar. But you say, how have we offered polluted food? See, we can justify everything we're doing by saying that the Lord's table is despised. And God says, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor and see if he'll accept you with favor. God puts it right down where the rubber meets the road. In other words, the people were going to worship. They were bringing their animals. They were slaughtering the animals. They were putting the blood of the animals on the altar, everything that God had told them to do. But their worship was not pleasing to God, because God had told them, bring the first fruits, bring your best to me, because I am providing for you. But see, they got to a point where, hey, the best are worth money. We're here worshiping God, but we can really gain a lot from this one. But we got this diseased animal over here. It's going to die anyway, and it is going to bring us no monetary advancement here. And so let's just give this. And so they'd bring the sick and the lame animals, thinking God would be okay with that. God was not okay with that. God wants to be honored. Do you think we can bring him worship that is kind of leftovers and not really what he wants? Or do you think God still wants us to bring our best? The only sacrifice we have left is the sacrifice of praise to bring him. Are we giving him our best? This is what honors God. And how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us that. God is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, R.C. Sproul and others say, means in the Holy Spirit. All right? In the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. There is not a person who can even say Jesus, you're my Lord, unless the Holy Spirit is moving in him and mean it from the heart. Well, people can say, yeah, he's my Lord, and doesn't mean anything. But no one has the ability to embrace Christ as Lord and really know what that means except by a moving of God in their lives by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we worship. We can't even come to God and declare his majesty without the Holy Spirit moving us to do that. That is enough to say, thank you, Lord, this life of his presence. And it says, worship me in spirit and in truth. What do we mean by in truth? The only truth there is the Word of God. A lot of books written about God, but this is absolute truth. How many believe this is absolute truth? Great, we're in good company, right? This is absolute truth. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship him in truth? By understanding what pleases the Lord. This is the revelation of who he is and what his will is for our life. When the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Stop right there just for a moment. The Holy Spirit will never speak on his own authority. So then, if someone comes to you, you're talking about the Lord, and they're a professing Christian, and they want to do something that is contrary to this word, and they say, I know what the word says, but this is what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. You can bank on the fact that they are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led by a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to this word. Why not? Because he never speaks on his own authority. There is this mutual submission in the Godhead that has perfect integrity. There's a perfect support of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never lead contrary to the Word of God. To the Word of God. And that's why it goes on to say in that verse, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He, the Holy Spirit's always referred to as he, not it. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. God is looking for worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's look at some of the truth of God's word this morning. Psalm 98, right here, talks a little bit about what kind of worship is pleasing to God. Worship, first of all, flows from an understanding of the marvelous things that God has done. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. As we come on Sundays, what things has God done in your life that causes you to praise him? Going way back, this coming Tuesday, July 1st, is my rebirth day. 40 years ago, Christ came into my life. And every time that day comes around, it is a day of rejoicing for me. When we sing the song, I am the life that you've changed, that almost brings tears to me every time. And that there is nothing in my life, good or bad, that's going on that will ever change that. That is the basis of my worship of God. What he has done. And it goes on to say, our worship should be joyous. If you look up joyous in the dictionary, it is passion or emotion excited by a good possession. God has made us to be a joyous people. When we receive something that is awesome, outstanding, there is a part of us that wants to absolutely rejoice. God's made us that way. It says in Psalm 98, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth, break forth. That means you're not there yet, but you break forth into joyous song and singing praises. That is pleasing to God. And worship includes instruments. Look at this. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre. The lyre was a stringed instrument, musical instrument. With the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets. Oh boy, they're loud. Trumpets are loud. We've had trumpets in here. You know, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, you know what he did? He told 120 priests to blow the trumpets as loud as they could. And the singers would sing with them. And the noise of that worship would be heard. And they would sing in unison. And when they did, the powerful presence of God was there. That's noisy. The sound of the horn, make a joyful noise to the Lord. There's a way to play musical instruments that are not glorifying to God. And there's a way to play that is glorifying to God. Our musicians, they understand that when they're playing their instruments or singing, it is to the Lord. It is in gratefulness to God. Many things are involved in worship. Singing, Psalm 98. Joyous song. Break forth into singing. Singing is glorifying to the Lord. Now, it doesn't say you have to sing on pitch. It doesn't say that. If God would have said that, most of us would say, oh, well, that doesn't include me. Right? You don't have to sing on key. You can sing. God has gifted some people to be able to sing harmonies. I know of people like Karen. She thinks in alto. She thinks harmony. I can't even find harmony, all right? I can't find the melody, let alone harmony. God has gifted us different ways, but he wants us all to sing. If it's off key and from your heart, it delights God. God is delighted, and that's what God calls us to do. And there are many things in the Bible that talk about expressive worship. Expressive worship. Not just sitting back when we come to worship, but engage. There's something about expression that causes us to keep our focus, all right? For me, it's a lot easier for me to worship God focused than with my hands in my pockets, because I can get distracted really easy, okay? That's why I close my eyes a lot in worship, because I don't want to say, oh, that person's here. I want to make sure I get with them after service. It's easy for us to do because we love each other in the body of Christ. But I close my eyes for focus reasons. And God has made us to be expressive, especially with our hands. When you want to serve one another, you reach out with your hands. If you want to comfort somebody, you reach out Put your hand on their shoulder. We are expressive with our hands. I come from an Italian family. We can't even talk without using our hands. But there's something about hands that give expression to our worship and engage us. God wants us to be engaged. Look at these verses. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God. Shout to God. Is that appropriate in church? At times. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Our praises should be heard. We should be raising the roof here. You get this many people who are singing for with all their hearts to God. Whoa, and we do that sometimes. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. So clapping our hands is appropriate to God. Now, some people think, oh, we're just clapping to keep beat with the music. No, clapping is a form of worship, 10-stringed instrument, okay? I was watching golf yesterday. A lot of you know I like golf, and I mean, it's a great sport. But here is a guy who hits a long shot, and he knocks the ball 5 feet from the pin, okay? And the crowd goes wild, applauding a ball next to a stick, all right? Applauding that, all right? If they can applaud a ball next to a stick, can't we applaud the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yes, clapping is honoring to God. It's honoring to God. That's what it says in many other verses. Psalm 63, because, now listen to this. Here's the basis of this intimate worship of God. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. What a powerful verse. What is the basis of that? Your steadfast love. That means God's love is continuous. When I'm not lovable, He loves me. When I'm blowing it, He loves me. If I prove faithless, He remains faithful. His steadfast love endures forever. And because your steadfast love, which means everything to me, is better than anything I have in life, I will bless you, my lips will praise you, and I will lift up my hands in your name. There's something about the lifting up of our hands that engages us with God. God has made us that way. The basis is Him, His character, what He's done. 1 Timothy 2 says, I desire then in every place that men should pray lifting up holy hands without anger and quarreling. Men, lifting up holy hands. Okay, let me talk to you men. Do your children, if you're a father, see you lifting up hands in worship? What are you modeling in worship before God? Are you modeling the kind of worship that pleases God or the kind of worship you think you want to do? All right? There's a difference there. This is the book of worship right here. This is what reveals to us. Have your children ever seen you in prayer, not just in congregations, walk in on you when you're praying and you're just worshiping God? Because lifting up holy hands, there's something about our hands that causes us to engage God. God prescribes that and He delights in that. How are we modeling worship for our children? Because they are definitely watching. Psalm 68 talks about coming in to the congregation. Your procession is seen, O God. The procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. So when we're coming in to this place where we meet, which is called a sanctuary, comes from the word holy. When we come together, this is just a building, all right? Nothing special about this building. It's a sheep shed. That's all it is, all right? This is not the church. But it becomes a holy place when the congregation is here. And we are to act differently than we do during the week. So coming into the sanctuary, the singers in the front. Look at this procession. The musicians last, between them the virgins playing the tambourine. Bless God in the great congregation, O Lord, You who are Israel's fountain. So when we're coming in, we're not just greeting friends in the foyer and coming in. We're coming in to this place of holy worship. My prayer every weekend now, Saturday nights and Sunday mornings, but every weekend, I pray for myself and you. You know what my prayer is? And it's been this way for many, many years. Lord, prepare the hearts of your people to come ready to worship you. Regardless of how our day's been, ready to worship you. That's what we want to do. We're coming in and privileged and honored to bring our praises before God. God is spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't see him, but he is permeating our lives with his presence. And we are actively engaging him. Psalm 149, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. So where are we supposed to sing his praise loudly, with enthusiasm, in the assembly of the godly? That's us today, right here. And not only our church, there's churches, at least 9 other churches in Grand County that I know of that proclaim the Word of God and hold high the name of Jesus Christ. We're meeting this morning. Israel, be glad in his Maker. Are you glad in the Lord? Psalm 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Every day, can we serve the Lord with gladness? Enjoying the day, waking up and saying, Lord, thank you for another day. I don't know what's going to meet me, but you're here. Do we serve the Lord with gladness? Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with a tambourine and the lyre. Where are we supposed to do that? In the assembly of the godly. That's right here when we come on Sunday mornings. Praising God in the assembly. That's where we should be. And is our worship motivated by our feelings? Should our feelings be affecting our worship of God and praise? Or is it a choice? Right? Well, in the scriptures, it is a choice. Why do you think our worship is not based on our feelings? Because feelings do what? They fluctuate. Right? Feelings fluctuate. If we're feeling good, then I feel like praising God. If I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to praise God. Now, we all have bad days, right? Bad hair days, good hair days. I got a bad hair day every day. I can't do a thing with my hair, right? Is that going to affect my worship of God? No. He's not looking at how we look outwardly. He's looking at how we engage him inwardly. Feelings fluctuate. My parents one time was... I think it was my mom's birthday, if I remember. I can't remember. I think it was. And told my mom, I said, you know, we're not going to be able to be there for your birthday and don't have a lot of time to talk and that. And she, you could feel her being a little bit disappointed and discouraged. And I said, Mom, we can't talk to you too much this way. She goes, why not? Because we're standing outside your door and we want to see you. You know, and her emotion went from disappointment to elation in a heartbeat, all right? In a heartbeat. That our emotions are up and down. We get bad news, we get good news. Guy sitting at his desk, supervisor comes in, Henry, clean your stuff out of your desk. We got somebody else who's taking your office. Henry goes, what? No one told me about this. I've been here for a long time. And all of a sudden, his emotions are going, feels victimized, his anger and everything else. And the supervisor walks out and says, Henry, you've been promoted. You got an office down the hall. And Henry's emotion goes from way down to way up, just like that, okay? If we allow our emotions to affect our worship, that's just where we are. Now, we know in this church, you do not have to put on a happy face when you come in here. If someone comes up and asks you, how's your week gone, and it's been a bad week, it is right to say, it's been a lousy week. I'm hurting, okay? Or I'm troubled. We don't put on a happy face here. If God says, walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. We can be transparent and honest here. Sometimes we have good weeks. Sometimes we have bad weeks. Sometimes we come and we just need to be refreshed, all right? But whatever condition we're in, we can lay that aside and worship God. Job lost everything in one day. His children, his possessions, everything. Can you imagine that? By various things that he didn't even understand. He didn't know there was this conversation between God and Satan. All he knew was he lost everything. And what does it say? He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And he worshiped God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Having one of the worst times of his life. You have Jacob who had a hard life. Hard life. We find him at the end of his life. The Bible says Jacob was leaning on his staff. Hip out of joint. He said, the days of my life have been hard. Hard. But what is he doing? He's leaning on his staff. Worshiping God. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. We're going to have trouble with a capital T. Challenges, things going wrong, things that hurt us and wound us. In the world, you will have tribulation. But he goes on to say, but what? Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So can we be of good cheer even in the worst situations? Yes. And so our worship can always be engaging, always, regardless of the state that we're in, because our emotions are not tied in to what God calls true worship and praise. We worship Him for who He is and honor Him and praise Him and for the wonders that He has done, and that never changes. It's not tied in to our feelings. Look at what it says in the Psalms. You talk about choice. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. That is an act of our will. I don't care how it's been going in my life. This is what I'm going to do because you're worthy. You're worthy of it. Psalm 104, 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. That's a long time for some. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Okay? Well, boy, when you live long, you got a lot of ups and downs in your life. There's been a lot of successes and a lot of failures and a lot of things, a lot of disappointments. I will worship you and praise you as long as I live. I will bless your name. And then he goes on to say, may my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. See, the heart of the psalmist here is that I would be pleasing to God. Because life is not about me anymore as a Christian. It's all about Him. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at almost all times. Oh, that's not what it says there, is it, Logan? Wouldn't you rather it say, I will bless the Lord almost all the time? No. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. That's a lot. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Is that possible to go through the day aware of God and thanking Him? You know, a lot of worship springs from a heart of gratitude to God. Just gratefulness. There was a time when I've always loved skiing for the last 40-some years. But before I was a Christian, I was smoking pot, getting drunk, almost killed myself skiing. It's a big party time. As a Christian, I get up there on the snow now, still love to ski the powder. But you know, it's totally different now. All the time I'm saying, oh God, what a beautiful place you've given us. Most of the world will never experience what it is to ski powder. And to have an ability to enjoy it without killing myself. And even the strength to do that. And to ski down for a while and just stop and look at the majesty of the mountains and say, oh God, can we continually praise the Lord? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we learn to do that. It's a learning process. Because we're not used to that. Psalm 145. Oh, and by the way, the end of that verse, on those little flyers right under the name Winter Park Christian Church, is this verse right here. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. That's what we're all about. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. This is where what we have as Christians, and this is where we're heading and growing in our knowledge of God, to worship Him continually. It doesn't matter how our days are going, our life's going, our week's going. We have everything we need in the kingdom of God. He's given us all we need for life and godliness, and that doesn't change. There's nothing in the world that can affect that. So when we come into His presence, we lay aside all the things that are worrying us, taking our attention, we say, God, I'm here to give you my best because you are worthy, Lord. You're worthy. And lastly, where is it appropriate to enthusiastically worship and praise our God? This is not in your notes, but you can write across there, everywhere. Everywhere is appropriate to worship God. But especially when we come together as His people. It's like putting logs together in a fire. We feed off each other's enthusiasm what God has done. It's great to see brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of you know this about me, but when I look out over the congregation, I've never been a numbers guy, You know, it doesn't matter to me if one shows up or 100 shows up. That's God's business. God leads people in. But what I see out here this morning are testimonies. I see marriages that are healed. I see lives that are healed. I see people who were in jail and not in jail anymore. I see people who were liabilities to society. They're no longer liabilities. They're assets. I see businesses that have changed because of the power of God. And oh, just to know that, to be able to express that. And that's what it says here in these verses as we're wrapping up this message. Psalm 22, I will tell, again, a choice, I will tell of your name to my brothers. Where? In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. It's great to tell people what's going on in our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? It's okay to say, hey, I need prayer, I'm battling. It's also good to say, God has been so good to me. He's always good, but let me tell you what he's done in my life this week. Psalm 26, my foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. What does that mean when God's word says, my feet are standing on level ground? You know, when you're on level ground, you got a little bit more security. When you're not on level ground, a little bit more imbalance there, right? Turn back to Psalm 40. Go back in your Bibles to the left a little bit to Psalm 40, because the next verse is right out of this psalm. But here's Psalm 40. This is one of the foundations of praise and worship. This is why we worship God, because of what he has done. What's one of the great things he's done? Every Christian falls into this category right here in Psalm 40. Every one of us. It says, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he drew me up out of the pit of destruction. Right? That pit, that black hole, some Bibles say the miry bog. We are in a pit by nature. Dark, ugly, hurtful pit. And we cannot get out of there ourselves. Who has to draw us out? Only God can. He reaches down. This is true of my life when I was in the pit. Reaches down and pulls me out of the pit by his power. And what does he do? He set my feet upon a rock and made my steps secure. So God makes my steps secure now. I'm not falling. I'm not out of balance anymore. He does that. And he put a new song in my mouth. I used to sing the blues. What do I sing now? A song of praise to our God. He puts a new song in my mouth. If he's put it in my mouth, why should I hold back? And many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. It is what God has done. The singing, the praise. We should be the most joyful people in the world. And others should wonder why we're so joyful when all the world is falling apart around us. Our world is not falling apart. Our world's not falling apart. The world is falling apart, but not the kingdom of God. That's my life. That's where I dwell. That's where I live. It is as secure can be. And it's going to continue to be till I go home to be with Jesus. Hey, hey. And enter into our inheritance. We win-win. We win. There's no losing in Christians. Years ago, our church for 11 years met in Winter Park in the Cooper Creek shopping mall. We rented the third floor. A lot of you know that. And yes, sometimes the windows were open in the summertime and you could smell that aroma from the new Hong Kong restaurant just coming in. And people were wondering how long the message was going because we wanted to go over there and eat some Chinese food. But having the windows open also was another benefit, is that people all over the mall could hear the worship from upstairs. And I can remember this happened many times. People would find their way up following the music. But one time we were there, and I happened to be leading worship at that time, and saw this gal as we were leading worship. She just walks in and stands right in the doorway and just kind of caught my eye there. And she stood there with a cup of coffee. There's a coffee shop right downstairs. She's got her cup of coffee and she's listening to the songs. And then we're singing and she caught my eye again, and I see tears coming down her eyes there. And after we were done and we prayed, she came forward and she said, I was in the mall to get a cup of coffee. I heard the singing, this beautiful singing. I went up and I stood here and I realized I need Christ in my life. Will you pray for me to give my life to Jesus Christ? Woo! All right? Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. The worship of Christians that's unrelated to the trials of life because we honor him for who he is. Psalm 40 on in verse 8 says, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will. God never meant following him to be a burden to us. It's a delight to follow his rules and his laws, to know they're the laws of life. They're not there to rain on our picnic. They're there to release us to enjoy life the way God's designed life to be enjoyed. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. So he's talking in this intimate conversation with God. As you know, O Lord, I've not stopped. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. God wants us to be open about what he has done in our life. As we say so many times, everybody else is coming out of the closet today. Christians need to come out of the closet. Okay? And declare the greatness of God wherever we are. I have not concealed your steadfast love or your faithfulness from the great congregation. When we're together, we are to declare the wonders of God. This is what's pleasing to God. And he gives us encouragement over and over in the scriptures. Psalm 35 says, I will thank you in the congregation, in the mighty throng, I will praise you. And it doesn't say, if I'm having a good day. There's no qualifier there. I will praise you because of who you are. And I'm so grateful to be yours, to have you in my life, my comfort, my strength. Oh, you're everything to me. There's nothing today that's going to hinder my giving you my best in praise and worship. Last verse, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's why we praise him. That's why we praise him. Isn't God great? In your notes is a little Bible study for this week. But I encourage you to read through the Psalms this week and to ask yourself, am I really worshiping you in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord? Am I pleasing to you? I want to be a true worshiper. And if not, make me that person. Because I want my life to display your splendor. I want you to look down on me and be delighted with my heart and my life. Because that's our desire. That's why we live. We make it our goal to please you, Paul said. Let's bow for prayer today. Thank you, Lord. And just let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today. God knows where each one of us is, and he knows you're weak. He knows your attitude. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And oh, that's just overwhelming for us. Lord Jesus, Father in heaven, we want to be true worshipers. So Lord, if there's anything in our life that has grieved you, forgive us. Forgive us for that right now. Anything we're doing that would grieve your Holy Spirit, or if we're walking in any way in violation of your word, forgive us, Lord. You said, for those who confess their sins, confess your sins. Confess your sins, and God will forgive us. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything that's not right before him, if we confess our sins. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for times when we grumble, complain. We forget about you. We forget about your steadfast love, or we forget about your presence. We forget about the life we have in you and all that you've given us in your kingdom. Oh, God Almighty. We're learning to keep you at the forefront of our minds. Your word says the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. We're learning what that means. So Lord, be honored, especially when we come together. May our worship be sweet to you and a delight to you. And may we be engaging you, for you are the King over all and certainly over our lives. Thank you for this, Lord. May we as parents be modeling what it means to walk with God to our children, as moms and dads, and modeling what it means to walk a life that's dependent on you and full of worship. And there may be somebody here this morning in this room, and you'd have to say, you know, I've never embraced Christ like that. Maybe you've gone to church, but you've never received Him into your life, committed yourself to His Lordship, embraced Him as the King, as Almighty God, come to your rescue for your salvation. If you've never given your life to the Lord, don't leave this room today without doing that. And we want you to come and talk to us. Talk to me. Talk to one of the ushers. Talk to a friend that you know here. Talk to our sound person. We would be glad to talk to you about what it means to be a Christ follower, to come into the kingdom. Or if you're listening to this message by another means, we pray that you'd open up your heart to Christ, to put your trust in Him as Lord and Savior, to know that God raised Him from the dead, proving He was Almighty God incarnate, and that His words were absolute truth. Find a friend that you know is a godly Christian in a church that proclaims the Bible, and learn His ways. Oh God Almighty, we thank You for this. Now, Lord, receive this last song as we lift it up to You as we close our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.